an elite assassin who is part of a large criminal underworld, must recover stolen money from her bosses. This becomes a mission that makes her question loyalties and puts her morals to the test, since repercussions from the latest targets have become complicated.
Everyone, welcome back to Clubhouse Movies Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Lubokabe, economist and film enthusiast, and I'm joined by Mr. Abel Panetta, professional photographer and lady killer.
Yeah.
And just his wife.
Married.
He kills her every night.
There it is.
Today, we are reviewing Gunpowder Milkshake, starring Karen Gillian and directed by Navo Pabosado.
So this was a Netflix-only release. It was a... What's her name? I always forget her name.
Her name is Karen Gillian.
There it is. She's
stars
also...
Karen Gillian. Yeah, tall-ass Karen Gillian.
Yeah, tall-ass Karen Gillian. She also is... What the hell is her name in Guardians of the Galaxy?
She plays Nebula.
Nebula. I was going to say
you
Nova.
You know where she came from originally, right?
Where?
She was a background character on Doctor Who, like a bit character. Then she got promoted to second lead, like the next season. Yeah. So her bit character was someone else completely.
Wow.
So then she became like a human after that.
That's
but,
crazy.
You know, this movie, I was thinking like all through this movie, should I have seen John Wick? Because like this is like another underground assassin cult movie.
Yeah. Have you not seen John Wick?
I have not seen John Wick.
Dude, you have to.
And I guess it's like a new genre or something because like we just saw Nobody, right?
Yeah.
And Nobody was good. Like it was actually like a good, like
it was very
well acted, well put together. You felt the pain.
Also good actors in it.
There's good actors in this movie too.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Everyone in this movie I like. And everyone in this movie I've seen put out A quality. In this movie they put out A quality, but I felt like this movie just kind of kept going.
I was going to say that. It did feel like it could have ended about 45 minutes early. I would have been totally cool if they were like, this is just a quick movie. We're doing 45 minutes of killing and drinking milkshakes.
Yeah. So this movie, it to me, it really is only like three or four sets where there's like the diner. Then they go from the diner to like
the bowling alley,
the library, and then like,
then like the city.
the city that's everything is in walking distance, even though she called an Uber to get like the next mom was in hiding down the street
for 15 years
she lived in this is like so weird.
It's like apparently DoorDash doesn't live here either, but Uber does. This movie, you know what it felt like?
What?
And I'm gonna keep saying it.
What did it feel like?
It felt like a way better Ocean's 8. You know what? It felt like the girl version of John Wick. And it was because I didn't even base it off of John Wick. I based it off of Ocean's 8. Anytime I see it's terrible. I know. But I see a female lead that kind of is already doing what a male-led film did. I'm like, it's got to squash Ocean's 8 and then it's to the stratosphere.
Okay, so it did what Ocean's 8 intended to do.
Be funny.
Yeah, be interesting, be pretty.
Yeah, be good.
Pretty.
Make the women actually cool, man, where they're like really whooping butt, man.
One thing that I do appreciate though in movies, and I don't know if anyone else feels this way or if this is what they were going with.
Mm-hmm.
I like flip phones.
I love flip phones.
I like flip
phones. I'm actually considering getting the new flippy all screen
and
Samsung phone.
And I like the analogness of smartphones. And this movie utilizes that.
Oh, and it's so great. And I love that they do this in almost all the assassin movies. I feel like it's just such a perfect thing. Like, you want to be an assassin? Well, you don't have to be all boisterous and be well known. Get a flip phone.
Well, not even that. Like, cell phones are not cell phones. Smartphones, or especially this iPhone brick type.
Yeah.
Not sexy.
No.
Not good looking at all. And
like, you put them in a freaking case. What?
It's just
like
a brick.
I remember I had a flip phone. I'd have to put in a case.
No one looks cool looking at it.
You can't hang it up cool.
Yeah, and you're really not like doing anything. Like,
yeah, and you don't productive.
Great on it. Yeah.
Rarely are you doing anything productive unless you like got lazy and just didn't want to bring out your laptop.
Yeah. So my hat does go off there.
Also, the cinematic like look of this movie was, I feel, way better than it was. I'll say this. It looked, I can't even think of what the hell I was going to say. I lost my train of thought.
Well, I'll tell you what I thought it looked like. Did you ever see The Mystery Men?
I did. Wow.
Yes.
That's a freaking throwback.
It is a throwback, but there was a point where
I'm like, it's all flooding back.
Where movies wanted to look like comic books, and they like made all the colors pop, and
just like
and they also made the what do you call it, the set design pop, like like it didn't really exist. And to me, this looked like Mystery Men, and to a lesser extent, the Joel Schumacher Batman movies.
Yes,
where it
also that one movie you kept referring, you kept telling me to watch, and I ended up finally buying it. The movie that The Matrix copied.
Now, I bought that for you for your birthday.
I do have that, but I also bought it digitally.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because I just bought it digitally. What the heck is the name of that movie?
Dark City.
Dark City, there we go. That's what it felt like, right? Because Dark City, I just rewatched it like a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
Dark City. So good.
Dark City, see Dark City. We'll do we have to do a ASMR.
Oh, man.
For Dark City.
So good.
Because to me, that's one of the best movies.
Oh, it's a cinematic juggernaut if you watch it.
Yeah.
It's just such a chef's kiss.
I've actually never seen the director's cut version of that. I need to.
I have it. I haven't watched it.
I know. but it's
good. It feels like this movie gives more of a nod to that kind of cinema style than the new stuff.
Also another late 90s era type movie. Like there was a push for colorful comic book movies, even though comic books are not known for this style.
No, not at all.
Because
you can't actually translate comic books to the real world. You have to adapt certain things.
Well, Sin City gets it closest, right? It's
very close.
I don't know if this was based on any other kind of pre-existing IP, intellectual property. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. I really value its
aesthetic. I liked the cat motifs, though, because there were a bunch of lions in it. And the lion... You know, maybe that's because the female lion, they're the ones that do the hunting.
Yeah.
Where the dude just kind of like hangs out because the lions were in the library. But also, there was the lion.
Yeah, they also just showed the secret door is a lion.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, like...
Lioness.
I was also thinking about the other secret door. But anyway. But it was also her jacket. She wore the tiger jacket.
Oh, yeah. Which she got from the bowling alley.
Yeah.
And then she proceeded to beat the crap out of some dudes.
Yeah, and if you watch like the end credits at the very end, it's very predominantly like leading the end credits too.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
So I think I'm going to actually incorporate that in the
that was pretty cool.
In the thumbnail because that was actually my favorite part of the movie is like, "Oh yeah, she's wearing that kick-ass little tiger." The roaring tiger's
I see it right there. Well, you know, one thing I wanted to mention before I lost my train of thought.
More kittens.
Well, yeah, I heart kittens. She has guns in a duffel bag that is bright yellow, and it says, "I heart kittens."
I love kittens.
Well,
don't be a Huckabee's person.
There's a heart, so.
But it means love.
I know it means love. Mm-hmm. I get it. The kittens are loved.
I was really upset when I Heart Huckabees came out, and everyone said, "I heart Huckabees," but it said, "I love Huckabees." I don't even know what that movie's about.
I did it because if people are just listening, it's a heart. It's a physical heart. Anyway, not an anatomically correct heart.
No, it's a symbolic heart that people write.
It's an emoji heart.
No one says, "I heart you."
No, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, no one says that.
Like, I was... So, like he mentioned earlier, the mom has to leave because of some stuff, yet she's been hiding in town. What that reminded me of was of the movie Lucky Number 11.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Josh Hartnett?
Yeah, Josh Hartnett. Never saw it. Oh, my God. I can't believe I forgot his name. Bruce Willis.
He was in that?
Yeah, he was the guy that took care of him. And then, you know, like, then he ends up having to kill the guy that takes care of him. Spoiler alert, that's exactly what happens here. She threatens to kill the guy that was taking care of her.
Dun, dun, dun. You know, that whole...
Paul Giamatti.
Another thing that I had a problem with this movie, thinking about things on it, was that scene where... she goes to kill the guy who stole the money, which is like her big like plot point. The guy's like, no, wait, don't shoot me.
Yeah.
Don't wait. I got to answer the phone. And it reminded me of that scene in Batman vs. Superman where he's like, Bruce.
I don't even remember that scene, dude.
When Batman and Superman are fighting.
Okay.
All Superman has to say is, Lex Luthor is playing us against each other. Let's talk for a minute. But instead he's like, Bruce.
Oh.
Bruce. Okay. In this movie, Karen Gillian playing Sam goes to the guy and he's like, "I need to answer the phone. I need to answer the phone. I need to answer the phone."
That's really all.
You know what I'm saying?
That was frustrating.
It was because...
It's like, dude, why don't you just tell her? Are you just waiting for the plot to thicken?
Exactly. Oh, he's reading the script and he's just saying it over and over again. Ugh. The thing about it, though, if I were an assassin, I would not let him answer the phone because the phone's like, the assassin's here, shoot him. You know, yeah. Like...
That also gives you, like,
the Joker?
Tracer.
The Joker did that. They gave him a phone and he blew everything up. He killed...
You can't do Rachel. Freaking Joker. Thank God. Thank God our outsourced work isn't here.
Who?
And shut up about that Joker movie.
And he's still at the bus stop right now.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean.
Okay. Yes. Speaking of people I haven't seen in a while, Paul Giamatti, where have you been?
Yeah, man.
I haven't seen you since The Hangover.
He just shows up every now and again to be Paul Giamatti in every movie.
I know. He is very Paul Giamatti. The first time I ever noticed him was he was an Andy Kaufman Man on the Moon. He was his sidekick.
I've never seen that movie.
It's a good movie. Not bad.
Everybody tells me that.
I refuse to watch it now because Jim Carrey totally like smelled his own farts on that one.
Oh, man. He's so smug.
Yeah.
South Park nut.
Yeah, and what's the deal with that diner? Like, was the diner part of the assassin cult too? Because
I think so, because like it was like that fake when everybody would walk in, they're like, how can I help you, sugar?
But
you
she
take a load off?
Yeah, can I lighten your load? It's like,
yeah.
Does that mean that she knows they're packing, or does she want to take their coat? Like, I really didn't understand.
There was a scene where when she did say that, she opened up her little apron thing, and I forget who. I think it was
Paul Giamatti.
And
he had his sister's gun on his ankle.
Put it in her little pouch thing.
Was that your sister's gun?
Yeah. Pew, pew. Noisy cricket?
Yeah.
Are you happy to see me?
I didn't get that part of the diner. To me, it
was like neither confirmed nor denied.
It was such a reoccurring place that they didn't mention it. And it was to me almost the namesake of the movie. The gunpowder milkshake. Okay, so obviously
that's exactly what it was.
Yeah,
it was very tongue in cheek.
Yeah, so I just didn't get it.
And if you're noticing the way we're talking about this movie, the way we're just like, that up and down. Was the movie?
What happened there?
That was a little ASMR in here. My voice cracked. Please don't crash listening to us.
I don't know what happened to you.
I don't know, man. But that's what happened. Someone, this freaking movie.
Someone get some Viagra up here, stat.
It needs more coffee. Get the man coffee. So stupid. I don't know. Do you want to give this one a movie grade? A grade movie?
A movie.
Movie or popcorn grade?
I don't know.
A scholastic grade,
well,
something?
There's a couple of
things. What else you got to say?
So best parts of the movie, Cripple Fight. Remember?
I was trying to skip that.
Cripple Fight. Okay, well, they were all crippled.
Holy crip, he's a crapple.
Do you have air horn in here? Cripple Fight. But yeah, that was honestly my favorite part of the movie, just because it was a little more unique.
It was very unique.
Because everyone in that scene was injured, and Karen Gillan had no use of her arms, and the other people were all jacked up. Okay, that was another thing. They were jacked up because Karen Gillan.
She beat them up. Those were the three guys.
They sent the B team to go after Karen Gillan, who I'm going to say is the A team. But they sent the A team to go after an accountant.
Yeah.
Why didn't they send the B team to go after the accountant?
Dude, I have no idea. There was some things amiss.
Yeah,
in this movie.
And then the ones who started it off, it was Dracula Frankenstein looking mofos. Were they? Were they part of?
So those guys.
Did they belong to the plot at all? Because the other thing that triggers this plot is like the pre-credit sequence where she gets where she kills everybody.
Yeah,
I didn't get until like I kind of saw it again. That she killed the son of the guy.
Well, that I understood.
But I thought the son of the guy, when I saw like the movie once,
was
the guy in like the Frankenstein mask or something.
See, that is...
Because that would have made sense cinematically.
Yes, that could be interjected, and I was like, that would make perfect sense.
But instead, he was just a red shirt who died at the beginning, but you saw like the dad like... But my mind's eye didn't put that we met the dad before that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And to give you guys like a crazy quick summary of the story arc is Karen Gillan's mom, we'll say Mrs. Mom Milkshake.
Mama Milkshake.
Yeah, Mama Milkshake kills a guy she shouldn't and then has to get out of Dodge. Then her daughter repeats the errors of the past.
A cycle.
Yeah. It's very cyclical. She does it.
These assassins in this assassin cult should have killed the wrong person insurance.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens. It's like, I killed John Wick's dog. Oh, I messed with Hutch. Oh,
yeah.
Hutch killed the wrong guy. Oh.
Man, that is like a constant theme now.
They need I killed the wrong double cross.
That's exactly what happened.
It's called machete insurance.
God, man, that's what it was. Yeah. So because she killed the wrong guy, the guy's dad is like now after her. And that's it. The guy's dad is after her the whole time. And then Karen Gillian's mom pops up. Mama Milkshake is like, that's my daughter. You don't kill my daughter. I'm going to kill you all kinds of dead.
Actually, that was another good scene. Okay, because this movie didn't have a whole lot of good scenes in it.
Yeah.
The other good scene was the scene where they actually catch, at the very end, they catch Karen Gillian and the main bad guy when he says, you killed my son. But he had a good speech. He's like, yeah, I love my daughter. You know, my daughter, two
daughters.
Oh, that
was pretty good.
I have a lot of
very Godfather.
Daughters. Yeah, very Godfather, very, you feel for this guy. And it's just like.
He's like, I had a connection to my son.
Then I had
that
a son.
Different. And I was finally, no longer alone in my house.
I was no longer alone in my house, but now I am.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to like torture you. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That was a good scene. And the cast was really good in this because I like Karen Gillian. I like Lena Headey, Carly Gugino. But Angela Bassett, Michelle Yeoh were in this.
Yeah. That was crazy. I was like, whoa, you guys?
Yeah, they got, to me, this was like more like the Expendables of like, the Expendabellas, if you will.
Expendabellas,
almost a movie.
Really?
Starring Sigourney Weaver.
That would have been awesome.
That was going to be the next Expendables movie.
That would have been way better than Ocean's 8.
And I was like, hey, look, also a video store.
Yes.
I miss video stores.
I did too. They were fun on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm. I went to some city. It's like, maybe it's near Pasadena, but there's a giant Tower Records.
Really?
There.
Still?
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, Tower Records. I'm going to go like check it out. Totally empty. It's like a ghost town. They just haven't taken the sign down. I was thinking like, oh, there's like one. You know, like they're still in Amoebas.
Yeah, no, I know. Where is that? Is that on Sunset?
Yeah, they moved it though. But so it's not in the same. I think I had a nightmare about Amoebas once because I haven't been there in so long.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. But I used to like chilling in video stores. It was a thing.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
For our childhood. Yeah.
It was weird. Scissor kicks. Yeah, she does her. She did her Black Widow scissor kick stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
It's such a cliche.
I think she fought better than Black Widow.
Yeah, I like Karen Gillian. In a way, she is more real.
Yeah. Like more believable.
Scarlett Johansson. I did not like the girl who played young her, though.
Yeah, she was annoying.
Because to me, Karen Gillian already looks like she's 17, like all the time.
I don't even know how old she is, dude.
Yeah. And in Doctor Who, when she was in it, they actually got like her cousin to play young her.
Really?
Who looks exactly like what young her probably looks like.
Oh.
So it's like, I already know what young her looks like.
Let's see. Karen Gillian was born. Oh, she is 33. Okay. I mean, she's still young.
Yeah. Still legal. Do people ever become illegal?
I think it just becomes immoral.
She's already dead.
God. Come on. His thoughts, not mine.
It's okay. and then that scene where they're in the, what do you call it? Where then the doctor's office and the guy's like, you look like the Walking Dead. I'm like, did you just lift that line from the Ghostbusters trailer?
Yeah.
Like, because they don't look like the Walking Dead. I would have said, you guys look like you got this shit kicked out of you.
Yeah,
because
they were way worse for wear.
Were wrecked, but I would never say you look like the Walking Dead unless one of them was dead. Yeah. Like they brought him in and like, this guy's dead. And the other thing, the girl Karen Gillian, she brings in that guy she shot in the gut. Yeah. And then she's like, save him. I've cranked my back and I've cranked my like gut before.
Yeah.
Like like you could barely.
I've slept wrong, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna lay here forever.
I know for a fact, a shot to the gut will put you out for days if you survive.
Yeah, yeah,
days of months.
And if it goes through, who knows what it's gonna hit?
And she's like, fix him in an hour, and I'm like, you're supposed to be a legendary assassin. A shot to the gut is like,
yeah,
like
you get shot 85% in the stomach,
that is fatal.
Yeah, that's stomach acid bleeding all over your internals.
Open your intern.
Yeah, you're like, that is death.
Yeah, I'm like, who is this girl? Is it her first day on the job? First day on the job.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think, and the other thing, that library fight at the end.
That was pretty neat.
It was neat, but it went on
so long.
So long. I remember looking at the clock and thinking like, why is this still going on? Like it started like at about like just past the halfway mark and went on to like the end of the movie.
The end scene sucked, man.
Then Michelle Yeoh lost her eye for some reason.
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, just kind of like randomly. I don't know. I just like looking at that tiger on her back the whole movie.
It's a cool tiger.
Yeah. But what else? What else we got? Anything else?
I don't got anything else.
Scissor kick tiger. Oh, and driving along the beach again, just like Hutch. Just like nobody.
It was such a nod, dude.
But how could it be a nod? They came out like the same time.
You know, I'm just going to say, such a nod.
Did John Wick end this way?
No. John Wick just probably killed another person. I don't remember John Wick. I've seen them all, but I don't recall them.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't like it either. I don't know, but I'm gonna give this one a C+. I say the star power. I'm gonna give it a C+. I say the star power, some fun photography, cool action made this a worth watch. Although a fun ride, by the second half, I found myself wondering when this was all going to end.
I feel like you just gave it the exact same read and rating I was gonna give it. I will also give it a C+. It went too long. It had cool people in it. It was cinematically awesome to watch. And watch it. It's on Netflix if you got it. If you don't go out of your way to get it.
Yeah, check it out. But if you don't, hey, man, there's other movies.
Yeah. Check our reviews on them.
Yeah. At least there is a cool illustration of a bowling alley roaring tigers. See it for that. See it for the I Love Kittens thing. Motifs. I think that's about it. And, you know, Karen Gillan needs work. You never know. I will see you next time. I'm your host, Mark Rubalcaba. For Mr. Abel Panetta, we will catch you next time.